Peter Higgins at Conquers 3 at LSE Share Talk. This morning I have the pleasure of speaking Laurent Cisse, who is an NED and non-executive director of Consilium. Good morning there, Laurent. How are you?
Good morning, Peter. I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me with you today.
It's my pleasure, actually, because I'm a big tech fan, and you guys over at Consilium have got your fingers in lots of different pies. So I've been wanting to have this interview with yourself and the team for a little while. And I'm looking forward to you sharing the little knowledge that I know and a bit more about Consilium, really, for our wider audience. So thank you very much for that.
Great. Well, we'll have a few things to discuss then. I look forward to it.
Excellent. Now, first and foremost, Laurent, I wanted you as an individual and new NED, having been at the team, been with the team since September 2015, is to give our listeners just a background on Laurent first, where you started, what we started in, even if you wanted to go back as far as what you did your degree in, and then up to speed, up to Consilium days.
Sure, no problem.
Excellent.
So obviously with my accent, people will recognize that I have a bit of a French accent. So I'm half French, half Brit.
Yep.
And I spend most of my education and potentially professional life in the UK and in the US. So I went to university in the UK. And quickly, I started up with a few businesses focused on financial markets. I moved to the US for a couple of years, and then I came back. I then worked for a very large custodian bank, and I was moved to Boston, so people will probably know which bank that is.
Yep.
I was then seconded to Germany to open their German-speaking treasury department, French and Swiss. And from that point, I went into trading rapidly. I was already doing a bit of trading, but then I moved into a very fast industry at the time. That is the exchange-traded funds business.
Yeah, ETFs, yeah.
ETFs, indeed. And I moved into market making. So I was one of the exchange-traded fund market makers for a lot of the ETF suppliers and providers of funds. We had a very big success back in 98, 99. That was when these ETF were coming into Europe, the back of one of the most popular one, which is a SPDR one, the S&P 500.
Yeah.
So then an array of ETF came into Europe, obviously the index, such as the FTSE and the Euro Stoxx 50, and then obviously some more specialized ones, sector ones, sector-focused ones, as well as global indices. Then it moved into commodities. Obviously, the gold ETF had a huge impact on inflows into ETFs. And then obviously the currency products and the fixed income took a big step. And today people talk more about fixed income ETFs than potentially any other asset classes. So I've been involved in the ETFs market for the better of 15 years. I've been a market maker. I set up two market making businesses in the UK, and they were sold on, one of them at least, and the other one is now a very successful market maker. And back in 2013, I was finishing a very big ETF project with another market maker. And I was very curious about Bitcoin. And one of the things we were discussing is how could we integrate digital currencies into ETFs. So I started looking at Bitcoin. And this is at a time where Bitcoin starting its massive rally. And so I ended up creating a few e-wallets, as one does, and then starting trading on a couple of exchanges. And realizing, you know, the potential it had, obviously with coupled with quite a lot of risk behind it. So people are still very wary of it, of Bitcoin today. And this is where I started moving slowly into the technology that underpins effectively Bitcoin and what that technology can do in the financial market. So I started getting involved with big banks that were starting to look at blockchain. And then I got involved with partners that wanted to start a premise on a concept of work and a proof of concept and a proof of work into that environment. And I ended up, as a result, getting involved with Consilium at that early stage.
They've had a phenomenal rise, Consilium. I mean, obviously, we need to point out that Consilium, ticker symbol is COIN, listed on ISDX platform.
That's now, right.
And they seem to have so many different things going on. So that's the reason why I was having you on here today, just to bring our listeners up to speed with all the different things that's going on, because you've got various governments and various countries saying we are going to be involved in blockchain technology, we are going to be involved in Bitcoin, we are going to have this other currency other than our own. So it's growing rapidly, isn't it?
That is correct. And if you look back at 2014, where a lot of companies started investing heavily in blockchain, obviously a lot of startup businesses needed a lot of funding. This is where Consilium had a venture called Seedcoin and got involved in investing in early stage blockchain startups, so really focused in blockchain. This is where I got involved with a business, and I thought there were some great opportunities to provide that sort of narrow window investment to maybe a larger community. And then I met with the key members at Consilium when they were doing fundraising themselves.
Yeah.
At the time in 2014, the company wasn't actually listed. So there were a lot of exciting times where, you know, Seedcoin was involved in companies today that have actually done very well and are actually doing very well. So the idea was, what can we do with that early seed business that they've got and then promoting it to where it is today? So you're right. Consilium is a company listed since December 2015 on the ICAP exchange, which is called ISDX, ICAP Securities and Exchange Platform and Derivatives. It's effectively a side trading exchange, a recognized exchange, to the London Stock Exchange. And obviously it has its merits today because, as you know, the London Stock Exchange is in talk with Deutsche Börse. So it's a competing platform, and it also provides a lot of support to growth companies like Consilium and obviously some of the companies that we have underneath. So I clearly started mingling with the management, and it became clear in 2015 that my knowledge and financial background and contacts had obviously some opportunities to help Consilium fluctuate where they are today. So I joined the board of non-exec director back in September 2015.
Yeah.
And then we quickly evaluated that we needed to raise some funds. We already had raised some money before that, before I got involved, but we did another raise in order to launch the business onto the exchange. So we also went to a crowdfunding platform, the Seeders platform, where we raised just over, I think, £100,000. But overall, we raised £4 million. That was going to be working capital as well as investing into companies. And we had a successful listing in December on the platform. So we are effectively the first company to provide a window of investment into blockchain. So for those who would like to be in this space and they recognize that there is something, they're probably not sure today what it is, and it's very hard to invest in blockchain companies, well, Consilium today offers this opportunity of investing in early stage company in the potential of offering an uplift when we decide to exit from these companies. So the portfolio is very unique. It's effectively a private equity portfolio, and it's a global portfolio. So it allows investors to say, well, you know, I'd like to be part of this fast-moving technology that is blockchain. How do I do it? Well, blockchain today has a company called Consilium that is listed on an exchange and allows you to buy shares just like you would in any other fund and invest into blockchain. So our remit is really investing in early stage blockchain companies in the hope that these companies will fluctuate. And obviously with our support and help, we will contribute positively to their uplift.
And you've done exactly that. I mean, I want you to touch on some of the companies that you've been involved with thus far. And you've got the portfolio on the website there. It's a really good overview of the eight that you're involved with now. I mean, you've got one by the name of Fuso, which I'd not really heard of before. But it's obviously it's talking about the unbanked and the underbanked in the developing world. Now that's a massive sort of scope you've got there to develop that sort of technology there.
Indeed, yes. So Fuso is an interesting company. This is one of our early stage investments that we made. It used to be called BitSim. So
They
wanted to move away from the word bit.
Mm-hmm.
Fuso obviously probably reflected a little bit more. It's an Australian company, and it's involved in obviously the larger scale of industry into what we call wallets, e-wallets.
Yeah.
So what they do is they enable blockchain on a mobile phone. So effectively adding a layer onto your SIM and obviously targeting the world with the approximately 2.5 billion unbanked and underbanked consumer. And so obviously looking at Africa and potentially also Latin America, where people would necessarily not have a bank account, but certainly have a mobile phone.
Yes.
And obviously with the use of a mobile phone, it would allow them to be able to top up effectively, just like you would with your own purse, some money onto their phone and being able to transact. And obviously using blockchain as the underlying technology to make this transaction today. So whatever currency they want to use, so let's call it digital currency, maybe Bitcoin, but it can be any other type of currencies that you may want to use digitally, which allow someone who doesn't have a bank account holding potentially some cash, transforming that cash into a digital asset, and with their phone being able to transfer money to whoever they need to that may actually have some use behind it.
Now, what I found very clever about this is that it's headed by Leon Gerard Vandenberg, and he's got this, you know, he co-created Navy Cash, which is the US Navy's onboard mobile cash payment. So it's already been, proof of concept's already done there, isn't it? Am I right in saying that? It's been adopted.
Yes, I believe a proof of concept has already been in place.
Yeah.
With that segment.
Yeah.
But what he wanted to do is obviously extend it to a much larger segment. So obviously using the proof of concept that he's done.
Yeah.
Obviously with a bit more funds behind, being able to tap onto the financial service.
Yeah, and grow it accordingly. Now, the thing that seems to fit in really well with this particular company now is the fact that Apple, of all people now, are going down to a consumer-led approach with the smaller, less expensive phones. So if you're looking at the unbanked and developing worlds that can't afford a 500 or £1,000 phone, a cheaper phone that could use that technology means that far more people be able to use mobile payments and bit payments.
Indeed, Peter. And one of the things that they want to make it is as simple as possible. So obviously for people who have a phone, not necessarily a smartphone, but just even maybe a conventional mobile phone, it would allow them to, with a SIM, I mean, obviously, I'm not the expert there, but my recollection with the business is with the existing SIM that you input into the mobile phone, you can add a layer having a blockchain onto that layer, onto the SIM, and effectively creating a wallet on top of that.
Excellent.
So it's a very simple technology that just allows you to plug and play into your normal conventional phone and creating effectively an e-wallet.
Excellent, excellent. And obviously you've got the fast-growing mobile payments industry as well, disruptive technology regarding banking and all the rest of it.
Yeah, so obviously...
You've got the growth opportunity.
You know, we today see mostly in the press that, the breadth of the ecosystem is mostly focused today with the financial industry. They're the first ones who want to know and be involved in that space. So we've seen a lot of consortium building up, and I'm sure your listeners will have heard of names like R3 and Hyperledger. There are really a consortium of banks and other financial companies creating these environments for a breadth of the ecosystem in order to try and create some proof of concept around the financial markets, maybe for transactional activities. So, you know, potentially the clearing and settlement issues. So we've seen a lot of involvement in that, and that's growing very fast this year.
Yeah, well, it's growing rapidly. I've seen some news out. I'm not sure if it was related to yesterday or today. I think it was Thomson Reuters have just joined the R3 blockchain consortium as well. So, you know, it's not just business and finance companies. It's media, it's tech. They're all wanting to get some sort of partnership in there to see where this takes. Because if you're advertising or selling advertising, there's an opportunity there to market that and to get paid or check or click as to how many people have actually read that article or seen that advertisement.
Indeed, Peter. And it's a very good point that you raised, because obviously now with this consortium, a lot of companies are starting to become members of these consortium, because they're not cheap, let's say, to become a member. And this is where Consilium obviously is trying to stay on the forefront. We also offer a consultancy, and in one of our aspects is to provide support and consultancy work with some of the companies that are wanting to create a proof of concept or a proof of work around it. So we have been working with some of these consortium, and another one that you may have heard as well is a recent consortium that is about to sit in London as well, a company called Agentic. This is another consortium of 30 to 40 companies.
Right, okay.
Post-Brexit, they have decided to have their headquarters in Europe, in London. So, you know, there is a lot of support for encouraging fintech and financial establishment that are willing to look into blockchain to post-Brexit to remain in London and in the UK. So it's very exciting times for us. And obviously with Consilium, having invested with, today we have 10 company in the core portfolio, and we've also got an accelerator with an additional four companies. You know, there's a lot of things going on, so we need to stay abreast of, you know, this fast industry in order for us not to step behind. So obviously, I have stepped up, and I'm now the non-executive chairman of Consilium as of April. And around this, we have established a few committees. So one of them is, for instance, the Investi Committee, and we look very specifically at companies. And, you know, you might, I'm sure you'll be aware that a lot of these businesses are looking for funds. So I probably won't surprise you if I tell you that we get one or two applications almost every day. So it's quite a challenge for us in the committee and for the board, having to scan through all of these applications and see what company we could include in the portfolio, and also looking at exiting some of our businesses. Some of the businesses are doing quite well. And, you know, one or two I'd like to maybe to discuss is a company called Factum or Satoshi Pay.
Yeah, we can talk about those, definitely. I wanted to just touch on the fact that also that you've got UNICEF now looking for to grow that, so they can aid, you know, their work that they do globally. So it's not just about companies looking to make money. It's about well-being of the global population as well.
Indeed. And it's interesting that you mentioned UNICEF, because in the accelerator program that we did, that we conducted this year, we invested into four companies through our accelerator.
Yeah.
So just for the purpose of your viewers, an accelerator is effectively a company that comes in and helps, you know, early stage companies wishing to establish themselves and then getting some support. So whether it could be back office, even using your offices, legal and the human resources. So Consilium's obviously provided a lot of support and help with these four early stage companies. One of them is specifically focused with a charity, and is helping a lot of the charities today. And I believe that they've also have some contacts with UNICEF in order to provide an established blockchain proof of work in order to help, for instance, someone who wish to fund a charity or help with some charity, knowing where that money is going. Because we all know today that one of the issues we have with charity is, do we believe that the money is going to the people that need it at most?
Exactly.
And this is a big challenge. And one of the companies that we've invested in this year specifically looks at these challenges.
Laurent, which company is that one? Sorry.
This is one of our accelerator program company called Helpabit.
I'm not aware of that one. Okay.
Yeah, so it's a brand new one, so you won't see it. It's a very early stage. It's an Italian company, And its main concept is to provide through blockchain the opportunity of tracking effectively, because that's what blockchain is. It's a distributed ledger, so effectively a global database of data recorded. And with the blockchain, it allows you then to audit where that money is going and hopefully reaching the people in need when it needs to during a crisis or a big event like an earthquake or something like that.
Excellent, excellent. That sounds really, really good. I like the idea behind that one, definitely. Now, you mentioned Factum, that you spoke about, another one of the investee companies that Consilium have. And basically that one again is leveraging the Bitcoin technology to find a solution.
That's correct, Peter.
For the applications.
Factum was one of our early stage investments. It's a US company. As I said, we have a global portfolio. We have a couple of US companies. So Factum has been what I would call one of our gems in the portfolio, if I may use the word.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, one of the reasons is because it's at more of an advanced stage today. It's generating revenue. It has it's undergoing at the moment a potential fundraising where it's looking at much higher valuation than where we invested. So obviously, Factum is in a much more advanced stage. And, we like the company. Its sector is really application. It provides effectively immutable data laying on the blockchain to create tamper-proof asset and information recording. So effectively what that means to the business is, in simple terms, is if you're looking at, for instance, land registrar, what Factum offers is effectively putting all of the land registry from an inception time into the blockchain, and it allows you to audit all of that information so you can keep track of who were, for instance, the mortgage people, who were the legal people involved, when the deal was done from A to B. And then obviously, if there's been a chain of buying and selling, we have track records of this. So today, as you may know, in the land registry environment and buying and selling a house, it's not always that easy and can take a lot of time, and you've got to do a lot of surveys, and these surveys cost a lot of money.
I've just been through that process, Laurent. I can wholeheartedly agree with you there. It's painful. It's more painful than it needs to be. Oh, dear.
Indeed. So with Factum, for instance, what they're offering, and they've been working with certain governments, and they've literally just received an award with Homeland in the US, where what they're offering is effectively putting all of this information digitally so it can be traceable and at the same time, untappable, so no one can tamper that these records. Because one of the issues we have today is corruption.
Of course,
a lot of the lands in certain emerging markets, certainly emerging countries, have a piece of paper, and people believe that that's what's correct. But these information can be tampered by using a digital distributed ledger. All of this information will be stored and tracked, and no one can tamper it. So that's what Factum is doing today. And they're in a very advanced stage in their business. So as I said, they're already getting revenues. And so we're very excited in what these guys are doing. And they came over in April, and we showcased the CEO here. So at least our investors could actually meet in person our CEO, the CEO of Factum, and at least see exactly what these guys are doing, as opposed to hearing it from us and just showing them on a piece of paper what Factum is doing.
No, I think also as well, if I remember rightly, was it back at the end of last year, you basically got accredited by Microsoft. You joined the Azure Cloud, is that correct? Something like that?
I wouldn't call it quite an accreditation.
You were added to the Microsoft Azure Cloud, should I say? Sorry.
Yeah.
Confirms the security basis that it was worthy of use and safe to use, etc.
Yes, that's right. Yes. So that was one of the things, but it wasn't really specifically to Consilium. It might have been to an investee company.
Yeah, to Factum. That's what I'm talking about. Factum.
Sorry, to Factum. That is correct.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been some great news. I mean, recently we actually released an RNS on a great news that Factum just got involved with. They they announced that they stated a collaboration with a company called Smart Contract. And one of the things that your listeners will have probably heard when they talk about blockchain or heard about blockchain is the potential of having smart contracts as well. And there's a lot of companies building up in this environment. This is a huge, another huge, fast-moving environment. And they've just collaborated with Factum. So we're very excited with what they're doing and what that can allow the business to grow and hopefully providing value to our shareholders at the end. So we're very exciting in this. And then another issue about smart contract is you may have heard potentially, or your listeners will have heard of Ethereum. Ethereum is in Europe a lot. Consilium invested in a very similar platform called Rootstock, and they offer a very similar platform on smart contracts that Ethereum is supporting. However, what they're offering as well, and again, they've not gone live yet. We're very excited with our business because we're hoping that they're going to go live in the final quarter of this year, where they will actually add an extra layer of encryption, so protecting, making sure that there is some security involved as well, which today on the Ethereum has not been the case, and you may have heard some stories about it. So we're very excited about smart contract and smart contract platforms.
Excellent. So with Factum at the moment, what level of stake does Consilium have in Factum at the moment?
Yeah, so our involvement was quite an early stage one. We invested last year. We hold just under 2% now, obviously after dilution. And the company is looking to raise potentially more money at a valuation of around 35, 40 million pounds. So we're very excited helping them obviously raise these funds. But also we're looking potentially if someone may want to buy into this stake, because the investment description of Consilium, at least for the portfolio in investment, is looking at early stage, and we believe that maybe Factum may no longer be an early stage focused investment company.
Yeah, it's moving on rapidly, isn't it?
Exactly, and within a year, you can see already the uplift that this company has had, not just in our portfolio, but generally for its investors. Yeah. So, you know, for us, it's important as well to consider an exit strategy.
Yeah, I mean, the beauty of what you're doing is that, and given the team that you've put together, including yourself, Laurent, is that you guys have been at the forefront of this technology, so you know the concepts that potentially could be working 4, 5, 10 years from now and could be fantastic national, global companies in that time. So it's great to have a team that's so well-versed in what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's certainly our aim, and this is exactly the definition that we've gone out to promote Consilium. Is we're looking for these early stage because we believe that the uplift is much more exponential than maybe if you consider, you know, a final series into an IPO.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, the movement in which you're going to see an uplift is going to be a lot slower. I would say that yes, there is a lot more security. But one of the things that Consilium does is it allows you to have all of the, you know, compliance done for you, so you can invest in certain trust and confidence in the business that we're going out. I mean, we don't guarantee that all of these businesses will survive. And you know, again, the investment description states that these are very early stage and some of them don't survive. But if we look at a company that we have also on the portfolio called Satoshi Pay, this is also a very interesting one. This is the involvement of nanopayment technology. I'm sure your listener will have heard of nanopayments.
Yes, indeed.
And, what it encompasses. And, you know, we got involved with Satoshi Pay as well last year. This is a German company. They're based in Berlin. You know, they've started very small, and today they've got partnerships with Visa, and we're very excited with this deal that they've done because it opens them a lot more doors. You know, the credibility for them to be presented to even bigger shareholders and bigger investors is great for the company, and it's also great for us because we hold a significant stake in that business. And sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say that's the one. You know, with regards to Consilium, that's when they came onto my radar, because there's lots of companies, and for a company of the size, you know, of Visa to say, Yeah, we like what these guys are doing. Their technology is what we want to check and look at, and we're willing to put our own money into Satoshi Pay. I was like, hello, these guys know what they're talking about. You know, they've been out there and had a look at Satoshi Pay. They've got into Satoshi Pay before Visa have. Are you with me?
Sure,
And I was
sure.
like, wow. And that deal, I was like, I had to sit up and start reading then and start to do some research on not only Consilium, but also Satoshi Pay then.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Fantastic deal.
we're very close to the management of Satoshi Pay, and we believe that Meinhard, who is the CEO at Satoshi Pay, has done a great job, getting involved with Visa. I mean, effectively, how all of this started, if I may explain your listeners
Yes,
how it
please. Yeah.
got, because it's a really heavyweight business that Visa is today, and
Yeah.
everyone uses it. So how would a very small fintech company like Satoshi Pay get involved with such a heavy juggernaut in the transaction business? Well, all of this, like I mentioned, blockchain is really all about transaction and how it can monetize the transaction ecosystem into this. And obviously, Visa are very keen, and they've created labs, what's called, Visa Labs, looking at innovative companies out there and see what they can do with them, maybe even support them and invest in them. And this is all started back in October, where they had a sort of a raise of awareness in the business, and they invited all these companies to do a presentation. And out of a discussion that started with the Colab, which is what Visa has as an investment, really started going very quickly, and they realized the potential that it could have today, users, and obviously the millions of people like you and I today
Yeah.
using Visa as a transaction meme of payment. And what they looked at is the fact that it was a fintech, so financial technology, potentially with disruptive a scope and what it could allow them to do. Because let's look at the bottom line. These companies have been there for a long time, and we all have been using Visa in its traditional form. And suddenly, these financial technology firms just come out of nowhere, and in a
Yeah.
matter of 1 year, they can disrupt,
Disrupts, yeah.
the whole technology that these big companies have had for the last 10 years with
Yeah.
potentially monopolistic, environment. So
Yeah.
they're very concerned, and obviously, being concerned, you want to know what these guys are doing and potentially even, working with them.
It makes sense. I mean, we're looking at Visa now, you know, $184 billion market cap of company. Right, and a company the size of Satoshi Pay are going and disrupting their business. They're either going to have to get on board, adapt, evolve, or lose market share. And that's what I love about, you know, Satoshi Pay and the portfolios of companies that Consilium and your team have got is that they're waking up these sleeping giants, aren't they?
Exactly. And as I said earlier on, you're seeing this in the financial industry, and certainly with all of these consortiums building up. But for us, we're very excited that one of our investee company is directly in contact and doing collaboration work with some of these big financial institutions. So not only that provides credibility and visibility for the business, but it
Indeed.
certainly opens doors for them. And one of the things that we haven't discussed is exactly what Satoshi Pay does. So they're involved in nano payments. So
Yeah.
any transaction that is equivalent of, let's say, 1 cent, one US dollar cents to 10 cents. So obviously very small payments. And what it allows you to do is today, these transactions have never worked. So these big, industry realizes that there are the means and the technology, and particularly blockchain allows you, and they've proven that nano payment works through blockchain. So they obviously want to get onto these businesses, and in the hope of collaborating with them, because they've come up with disruptive
Technology.
industries and
Yeah.
solutions.
What I found fascinating about the Satoshi Pay way that it's done is that it works without a software download, which I couldn't get my head around at first. You know, that it's just there.
Yeah,
Nothing
so
to
most
download, there's nothing to sign up for. You just get it and it's ready to go.
that's correct, Peter. And one of the things that most people will be used to is downloading maybe an application onto
Yeah.
your PC or even onto as an app, and then obviously having to put in your password, your details, your maybe your credit card information. All of this they've been able to put aside, and then it's just literally a web-based GUI that just superimposed onto your PC. And you know, let's just talk about some of the merits of what Satoshi Pay are doing. What they're doing is they're going to publishers. And today, you know, our concern is that we don't want to subscribe maybe to a full year or maybe a monthly subscription to a magazine or even a newspaper.
Yeah.
So one of the things we'd like to do is just being able to pay. And I know that a lot of your listeners will more than happy be willing to pay for just maybe an article. So these articles can cost anything from, you know, one penny to maybe 10 pence.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what Satoshi Pay is allowing users to do by using blockchain and using these nano payments. People can now just pay for an article as opposed to buying the whole subscription.
That makes perfect sense. Given what's going on with the media industry right now, the ad tech and advertising industry, that's going to be it's going to be fantastic for Satoshi Pay going forward, definitely.
Sure, sure. So obviously now they've just realized this collaboration. So they've already had a number of publishers, but just imagine what Visa can do to them and opening doors. So obviously the credibility there using Satoshi Pay and being able to partner with Visa's own partners.
Yeah.
Great for Satoshi Pay going forward.
That's fantastic. I mean, you don't get bigger names than Visa, do you, in finance these days? You know, 184 billion.
Yeah, so you know, just imagine the users behind that and what that can do. So straight away, you know, and this is another thing that that is important to highlight is, you know, I've talked about the proof of concept and what it takes to realize, you know, a proof of concept when they need to get involved and how much money and human resources are involved. Well, Satoshi Pay are already beyond that proof of concept. I mean, they're now in the ability to offer, you know, Visa payments to all of their users.
Yeah, this
is what's exciting.
Very, very exciting. And again, you guys have got, what, 14.5% stake in Satoshi Pay, is that right?
That's right, yes.
The last champ, yeah.
14% in the business. It's you know, they've had a fundraising as well this year and potentially maybe another one. So again, you know, this is a company with a lot of potential and future success, and we wish them very well.
Yeah.
We also need to know and realize as a board, do we carry on with this uplift, or do we maybe start focusing on reestablishing our business and then maybe selling our stake in these you know, in these very successful businesses?
Very, very true. It's always a difficult one that, you know, as a trader and an investor, I stick with my knitting in the sense of I stick with my winners and I cut my losers, you know, as best I can. But Pay definitely seems like one of the winners, definitely.
Indeed, Peter, and sorry to have interrupted, but one of the things you see is, you know, when do people stop when the business is doing well, or, you know, even in the sports? So this is where we need to realize, and obviously we've got, you know, in the portfolio, some very good businesses that are reaching that level now where we need to make a decision and either carry on with them and obviously participate in their positive performance, or maybe, you know, thinking of a venture capitalist or even an angel and then maybe promoting our stake to them at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about the team that's been put together. And given your background and the history of businesses that you've been involved in banking and trading and ETFs, you're the prime guy. Hence the reason why, you know, you've taken on this larger role as a non-exec chairman to be pushing those sort of ideas to get together and opening additional doors regarding your background in the financial industry.
So bear in mind that, you know, as a chairman, Peter, my job is, you know, from both the internal affairs of a company and setting up value and standards.
Yes, definitely.
You know, it's very important for me to be the speaker of a business and obviously highlighting what Consilium does as a whole, but also speaking, you know, with the investee companies.
Yeah.
So obviously I have a great team working with me. You know, we have Eddie, who is you know, an early stage startup expert. We have Akim as well, who's our CTO, who you know, has great and immense knowledge in blockchain and has been working with you know, a lot of the management consultancy businesses and as well as the accountancies and legal businesses. As you may know, these companies are now starting to embrace blockchain as well, and you know, we've heard from a lot of the accountancy companies also starting accelerator programs and also embracing blockchain. And Akim has been very key in helping these businesses. So one of the third aspects of a business that we do that I haven't spoken about is also providing CPD courses.
Yeah, I was going to touch on the training bit just now. I was going to just say before you said that, I spoke briefly with Eddie and Akeem, and what I got from them, and I'm getting from you as well, is the passion regarding this technology. And you know how it could just traverse everything that we've done historically regarding finance. You know, we've gone from having a square wheel to a round wheel. We've gone from look at the sky thinking I wish I could fly, and now we've got this technology that will enable us to just traverse all the stuff we've done before. So I just get that passion from you, Laurent, and I've had it from Eddie and Akeem as well.
Sure, Peter. And, honestly, since I got involved in blockchain, this is, again, from my activity in trading, I see a lot of similarities to what, for instance, the ETF industry has reached today. And, again, there's been some news that the ETF industry has reached something like $38 billion US dollar of assets. You know, this has been 10 years. I honestly believe that looking in 10 years' time, we will see similar investment. I mean, we've seen a lot of investment already, and I'm sure that your listeners will have heard a lot of US companies being invested heavily into this space. I mean, look, who knows where this is going to go? And there's a lot of uncertainties, and a lot of people are still very wary about the digital space. But it's a place where it's going to stay. We know this for a fact. People are embracing it. The reason why the financial markets are so keen to be involved in blockchain technology is because themselves they are worried that this could actually erode some of their underlying profits and revenues. So we know that this industry is in the forefront today of the financial markets, and it's gonna, if you look at it, it's gonna go in much broader industries. You know, we're talking, for instance, with the likes of the travel industry at the moment. There is also a lot of work going on there. But, the whole industry is exciting. And that's the reason why I'm passionate about this, because I see a lot of, promotion going into this. And I'd like to be part of it. And this is what I believe Consilium can do. And certainly to our investors and the investor community, this is one thing that you can invest in. And today, we are the only company still today having this first to market opportunity to invest in blockchain.
Definitely first mover advantage. Now, Laurent, you wanted to touch on the Trading Academy. Now, what I found incredible about this is that obviously there's still industries and companies and government entities that are still not au fait, up to speed with the concepts of Bitcoin and blockchain. So what I found very innovative about Consilium and the team was that they've opted to go out and say, right, okay, you're not aware about it. We'll come in and we'll train you guys about it and bring you up to speed, which I found fascinating.
Yeah, so Akeem had some great ideas last year, and this is something that the board encouraged him to promote very quickly. I mean, obviously, Akeem is very astute into this industry and blockchain, and he has some tremendous knowledge of the industry, the technology, and all of what encompasses the environment that is moving forward. So we thought, well, look, since he has this IP, this intellectual property, why don't we go out to leading institutions and trying to promote what he knows into some courses, and then we'll accreditate them into some CPD courses. And then on top of this, what we'll do is if a company would like to introduce their employees to blockchain, we will do bespoke courses. We will do, tailor-made courses just specifically for their needs. So one of the things that Akeem has been pushing, and he's in Europe, is going out to legal firms, management accountancies, and accountancy firms, promoting their courses on blockchain. And this has been great. We've had tremendous support on this. This is still an early stage because a lot of people still know about it, and some of these courses can be quite expensive, but the result that people, the feedback we've had from people, having done these courses has been very encouraging.
No, I think I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, the great thing about the portfolio of companies you've put together, the platform you've put together, and the training you've put together, you've almost got a vertical mini industry within Consilium. So you're covering, as they say in the UK, you're covering all the bases.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, look, we're still a very small company, and we're certainly not on everyone's radar screen. I mean, we listed the business with a valuation of around £4 million. We're on ISDX. A lot of people don't know what ISDX is today still. So obviously we're still trying to promote ourselves into this, very fast-moving environment. But at the same time, a lot of concerns. There's been a lot of negative press as well about it, certainly focused on Bitcoin, I'll have to say. But there's been a lot of issues. So, we're not always getting it right. And I'll be the first one to admit it. I mean, we're still in a very big learning curve. But one other thing is we know that within our portfolio, and certainly the companies that we invest in, there are some, very successful businesses out there. And we're trying to help them in the way, certainly with my expertise and my experience I've had in the financial markets, if I can help these people, because these guys are entrepreneurs. And
Yes,
they've got
indeed.
a lot of things to offer. They might not be great at running a businesses, so that's a reason why considering also helps, provide that hand-holding, mechanism, so that a business not only don't they have to worry too much about, the business themselves, but at the same time to carry on in this fast industry. And that's what Consilium is trying to do.
No, I think it's brilliant. I mean, the American listeners that we have will be aware of Shark Tank, and the UK ones will be aware of Dragon's Den. I'm not sure what concept they have in France, but that's the whole point. There's so many ideas people out there that have got concepts, but they don't know how to manage them. They need monies to get to the next stage and the next stage. But if they've got serious business veterans that know how to run businesses, helping them and holding their hand, they've got more chance of being successful and being of a greater success, which is what Consilium, as you've reiterated and articulated so well, that's exactly what they're doing.
Exactly, Peter. And you've raised a very good one with the Dragon's Den. I mean, this is exactly what we do for these early stage blockchain companies. And we're trying to help them. We try and even provide them office space if we can. The legal and the back office help is immense to them because it gives them this great support and uplift and also security. They can think within the next 6 months, they've got a sound business and they can deliver their product because a lot of these companies are still trying to deliver a product. So it can deliver their product and then also be, still in a healthy situation.
Yeah, I mean, the analogy I would use is that I look now, and I mentor and coach students a lot of the time, and they've got ideas. And it's a case of they're distracted by the fact they've got all these other finance issues, and they've got to borrow money, and they've got loans, and they've got these ideas, and they're going to graduate in the next 6 months. And they're like, I've got all this other stuff going on, I can't focus. So if you've got an investee company and their sole focus at the moment is getting this idea and this concept live, working, it means that they can just get things done so much quicker rather than dealing with certain bits of red tape or bits of bureaucracy or payments to do with the accommodation that they're living in. You know what I mean?
Absolutely,
So
Peter.
that's brilliant. So
And
I'm sorry, go on.
you hit the nail on the head very nicely there by using the word red tape, because the things we see is obviously the UK market embraces, early stage companies, and we've seen this with regulators and the UK government. And we're very excited also that post Brexit, London will still remain, the UK will still remain the financial tech hub for all of these entrepreneur businesses.
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to touch the fact that, given the fact the Visa deal with Satoshi has garnered a lot of attention, I envisage going forward that when you either reduce a stake in one of your investee companies or you exit one of your stakes, and the multiples you've gained on garnered on that will be the next big pop where people go, oh, Consilium have just exited that company, that private equity company Consilium have exited that company at times multiples of that. So yeah, I envisage great things going forward for you and the team, Laurent.
Thank you, Peter. I mean, this is a big dilemma to the board today. Do we stick with these companies or do we try and find an exit? And one of the thing is we need to consider, because this is the investment objective of the fund, we need to consider at some point divestment.
The divestment side is never easy. Some people take the Buffett methodology where they just stay in there for 40, 50 years, and some people are in and out within 6 to 7 months. So it's always a difficult one. But you've got a great team there, and that's where people sit down and democratically could make that decision, can't they?
Indeed, and it's my job as the chair to make sure that our thoughts and objective are aligned. And obviously, as I said, we have a great team there, and it's very now lean together. We've had some ups and downs, but we're
Of
very,
course.
again, we're a very young company. We've only listed in December, so we've got 7 months. And some of these early stage companies are still, like as I said, trying to deliver a product. So, we sometimes, our investors have to be patient, and we have said, this is a long-term opportunity to invest in blockchain. But at the same time, we are considering some of our investees as investment. But like you said, this is not an easy one to consider.
No, it's not. But looking ahead, I think it's great that you've got all these companies and entrepreneurs and inventors in certain say, cases knocking on the door of Consilium, because I see you guys as the lead private equity company out there regarding the technology that they're embracing.
Exactly, and we hope that your listeners will think the same as well in due course.
Of course. Now, Laurent, I've covered all my questions. I really appreciate you coming forward to have this conversation with me on the behalf of the Consilium team. I'm looking forward to speaking with you guys again, and hopefully at some point where we do a show of some sort. I'd love to have you and the team present if that's possible.
I look forward to it, Peter. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Okay, that was Laurent Cease of Consilium, ticker symbol COIN on ISDX. Laurent, thank you ever so much, sir, and take care and God bless.
Thank you, Peter.
Goodbye for now.
Bye.